I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, thanks for joining us at the hashtag #IMomSoHard podcast.
Yeah, we're at the podcast right now. Are we podcasting?
We are podcasting.
Because it's hard to tell because right now we're both wearing cardigans like we're 90 and we have blankets over our laps.
I'm on board with it.
I'm okay. It's so cozy.
It's nice. Like, it's cold outside.
Anyways, we are podcasting, but I'm going to live it up right now. I'm going to be cozy.
Yeah, it's been a long week. I don't know about you ladies, but we're in the holiday zone.
Yep. We're in there. Everybody knows what that means. You got to like any free moment that you have is
panicked,
is dedicated to, oh my God, let's just talk about all the things. Can we just talk? Because I need to take stock. I think you and I are the hosters of parties.
I agree.
I don't know that many people throw parties.
Well, I love our Halloween we do have a Halloween party. You do Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Now Thanksgiving has become a two-night affair.
That's what this is about. This episode is a little bit about that.
And this year we're not going to do our Christmas probably because of the renovation. It's not going to be done. And if it is done, it'll be done on the 24th, which is fine. But doesn't give you any time to prep for a party. We're having a different experience right now, and I think everybody's still feeling a little bit of that weird, like, pandemic depression a little bit,
yeah.
And everybody doesn't know how to behave or know what to do with themselves, and so we're all like, oh, all right, do we go to a party? Can we? Not that everybody's, like, afraid to be out in the world, but I mean, I do think there's those people, which feels a little weird, too, but I just feel like we're all not sure how to behave yet. Well, we've all got a little PTSD from being trapped with our families.
Let me give you a party how-to that I think everyone can understand. You take your RV to a tailgate pregame.
Yes.
Okay, it's exactly like that, only you don't have to put everything in the RV. You just have it at your house. You can have everybody bring a bag of chips and just tell them, you don't have to wear your favorite sports team. You could wear...
Correct.
Something else. You could wear a Christmas sweater. You could wear a New Year's sweat. Something like that. Let's call it a party.
Let's
do this.
Yes. I know I miss parties too, but it's been a really weird, like, holidays are weird for people.
I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, good.
We were missing, we'll get the details on it, from the regular tradition of Kristen and the newer tradition of Dewey and Terry coming. Sometimes we have Sarah, who's Colin's mom.
Yep.
We had Ron's dad came.
I mean, we are definitely increasing our boomer space.
Oh my God. Dream team in the kitchen. He was in there. He loves, he usually does it at home for like Ron's extended family. And then I had my mother-in-law there who is a machine in the kitchen.
Yeah.
It was the dream team in the kitchen this year.
They don't mess around.
She was, Ron and I were like, you know, 20 years ago, we could have thought of clean as we go and we never did it. Never crossed our mind. We just have like this big comic stack of dishes at the end. She's just like cleaning us up. She never stopped moving.
Yeah.
Anyways, Ron's dad, as he leaves, I go, well, come back next year. He goes, I was thinking maybe I'd like to.
I know. I'm telling you, you're really like, it's like the hot tip is your house on Thanksgiving. I think my parents' friends are going to be like, is it fine if
just
the neighbors
bring
from down
them.
The street?
You know what?
Can
it's
they?
Nice. It's laid back. There's enough people that you don't get like sucked into one conversation. It's
right.
It was fun. It had to be all outside.
I know, I was bummed.
Well, the Wednesday night is the party that is really fun for us.
It was really fun, but things took a turn. So my parents had a plan to come out.
Yeah.
And I knew about this plan from the day after Thanksgiving last year.
Yeah.
Because my parents, and listen, they do not feel that I give them answers that make them feel settled, because they ask me the same question 25 times. And no, do I think that they're like getting up there in age and like forgetting stuff? No, I don't. I think that they don't listen to me. So literally my dad was like, now listen, the plan is to go to Jen's, right? And I'm like, yeah, Dad, I've literally said that 30 times. I don't understand. The party's not going away. No,
they wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth.
You.
Yeah.
Because send one email and then it's like crickets. And I'm you could have done this 4 months ago.
Well, when you told me that, I was like, oh, maybe they, because it is to plan a trip and not feel like you're officially invited. But you know me, I'm not a great planner, and I'm not
the damn email, or I'm going to send it from your email myself, and I'm going to be surly with them. Hey, Jen, here, your daughter's told you 50 freaking times you're going to a party. Just say yes and be done with it, all right?
That doesn't sound like Jen.
Yeah,
doesn't
sound like Jen. That sounds like our asshole daughter, Kristen, that's real difficult to be around.
I confirmed with them via text that it was happening, and then 4 to 5...
Follow-up texts.
4 to 5 weeks before, I sent out the official...
Yeah, as you should, in regular time.
Okay, but...
So the bummer of it all is, on the podcast, you probably heard me talking about how Jen and I are going to have to run interference with our boomer in-laws, just so they... Because we have so many fun and diverse friends that we don't need them saying.
Oh, and we did. I did. Don't worry about that. It's a whole other podcast.
No, that's this podcast, okay. Dippy. We knew there was a lot of, like, prep for our parents. Like, you know what? You're in California. We have a lot of different kinds of friends. There's a lot of things going on. Nobody feels like the way you bond with somebody is by telling them a joke of the... from the minority group to which they are a part. Like, you don't, that is not how you make friends. So
no.
Don't go in and think that's your, the way you, that's not a pickup line to most people.
Yeah.
You know?
Without throwing anybody under the bus, I said these words a couple times. Everybody has a different perspective and a different opinion. No one really cares what anyone else's are, and life is too short, and we're all too old to have to listen to them.
You know what I also think it is? I think once they get past a certain age, they don't care about if the person that's also the same age as them is different. They are all on the same team because they are simply that age. So they think just the younger is ridiculous.
Well,
so
I said
all
those
together.
Words to younger and older people.
Oh.
Because it doesn't matter, you guys. It doesn't matter. Like, there's somebody who's like a little, they're like 10% really wants to get into it. And you got to shut that shit down.
I shut it down for everybody. I was like, I don't care if you agree or disagree. Do not talk about politics. I do not want to find you in corners of the house. Like, oh yeah, did you hear about it?
Yeah.
No, my radar is on. I will find you. I will shut it down.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Also, the hardcore people really like to trap you into politics. So you just think you're talking about a family member, but all of a sudden that family member is reflective of an entire, like, voting populace.
And then you're like, how did this go so fast? How did this go from this to that so quickly?
You know how I know you don't want to hear my opinion? Because I don't want to hear yours.
I don't want to hear any opinions. I want to talk about turkey and holidays and bullshit.
I want to eat. And
I
want to
eat and drink and be merry.
Yes.
Anyway, I felt really bad because on the podcast prior to that Wednesday Thanksgiving, my dad, which was a bummer because in the podcast I was making a lot of jokes about how you know, family's difficult and like we're going to be running a house full of new rules for them and they're just going to be making fun of me the whole
time. You want to make your daughter feel real guilty right away.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad, a couple days before they were to leave, and they don't want to tell me anything because I think they find me bossy and demanding. Weird. And so they didn't tell me this, but my dad was having what looked like flu symptoms and he was very, very sick. And then finally, because I don't know if you know about this, but people over a certain age do not feel the need that they have to go to the doctor.
Especially the male type of people.
The male type of people do not feel that a doctor is necessary. At one point, my dad, who is 75 and is a young 75, was feeling heart pains, chest pains. And so that's like ER 101.
Yeah,
you get to skip in the front of the line. You get to buy Taylor Swift tickets first and foremost, right there and then.
Do not wait in queue. Make your way directly
to the electrocardiogram machine. Not my dad. Yeah. He's like, you know what? I had chest pains and I just thought a ginger ale would help.
Ooh, Dewey, if that worked.
No, of course it didn't work. So he was very sick. He had pains. He also had lower gut pain. So he just was like a mess. And then my mom finally took him to the ER and he collapsed in the ER. And then when he fell, there was a bit of a cardiac episode that they had to figure out. So there was a lot. And then what it came to be is that he had a terrible, yucky gallbladder and they had to remove his gallbladder. So he was just as sick as he's ever been. And the longest flight I've ever been on in my life was that phone call from my mom till I flew back to Nebraska. And between those two moments, like knowing that like I couldn't fly out till the next morning and going to like my kid's game and people talking to me. And I couldn't make a full sentence. I remember being like I forgot this one couple's divorced. I was like, oh,
well, hey.
You know,
I mean, in your defense, I mean, it's easy to do.
It was,
I mean,
it's not really new. Your problem. So, but I got on a flight and, I feel like in situations like this, and I think you would agree, I tend to be very, I'm trying to keep myself together. So I kind of look at everything around and I'm taking in every piece of information around me. And I was like, fuck, man, this makes me very sympathetic and empathetic to people on airplanes because you know not every person's going to a
party.
Most of them are going for work.
Yeah.
A lot of them are going to see family, but some of them are going, coming and going because they're scared or they're sad or somebody passed or like, so, you know, my flight was really, just felt like the longest flight of my life.
Yeah.
Then I got to my dad's. Finally, with planes, trains, and automobiles, after like 14 hours of travel, I got to my dad's hospital room. Big shout out to Brian East for all the care that they gave to my dad, which
Lincoln,
was fantastic.
Nebraska, nice.
And Dewey was what word am I looking for, Jen? When someone is not willing to participate in the plan that was given to them, his bedside manner was not the nicest at times. Fair, though. And that's what nurses, you know, I know. He just was, it was just such a bummer. He was so disappointed to not
fly out. I will, so I feel like I understand Dewey in this way as I understand my friend, which is what. Like when you get scared, you get into defense mode. You get into protect.
Yeah.
Kind of like, and so I think when you don't go to the hospital a lot, you don't go to doctors a lot, you start to get very skeptical of what people are telling you. And also you think, maybe I can ignore this away.
Yeah.
And I think he thought maybe he could just ignore it away.
A giant organ failing in his body and then it would just go away with ginger ale.
Yeah.
That feels like the right move. Nope.
Eventually it doesn't like shrivel up and you poop it out.
No,
it's
surgery, you know? Yeah. And the thing was, is like, again, my head was just like, you know, this is a floor full of rooms with people in it that are sick. And like, I don't like hospital rooms. You know, I always say I'm not having surgery unless I come out looking 10 years younger.
Yeah.
And so sitting in that hospital room, I found that hospital time is such an interesting thing. Like, I had one job to do, and that was to care for him. And I just tried to make things light because there were a lot of doctors coming in. There were a lot of question marks and it was a terrible, scary moment. So like my default is either freaking out in a, like, I like want to punch something or yeah. I do bits. And so I just did bits because it made him laugh. And
yeah.
But watching that clock on that wall, I was like, boy, I can just sit here and watch that clock like move and I'm not doing anything because I'm in this space, but like you don't want time to go too fast, but you also want it to go super fast. So whatever it is you're in right now can just be 10, 15 days past.
Oh, that's because
it's just so it's
the God. Advice that you get from medical professionals a lot is we need to wait and see. Let's see how this goes. Let's
which like, you, I did not know that. I thought it would be like
to the next.
Let me do 50 tests on your arm. We'll know everything in 2 hours. That's what yeah. I thought it was.
We just have to wait and see how you react to this drug or this medicine yeah. or this procedure or whatever. So we can move on to the next thing. But it is, you don't know that stuff. I always remark, and I thank God for nurses because they really like,
oh my God,
ease your brain and calm you down because they're real, like they're real people in moments where you just need them to be like grounded yeah. and like sane because none of it makes sense to you. None of it like unless, you can track. Yeah. You have nothing, very little in your past experience to like let you know how this works. But thank God they're normal because for everybody else, and God, I had an ER doctor when my dad was sick, like hit on me and I was like, this is insane.
But
this
thank you so much yeah. because I've really been, you know, I've been.
God, I am much younger than yeah, you. I thank appreciate you so much.
This is embarrassing. But,
I mean, like he was a little like flirty and I was like, yeah. This is the weirdest moment of my whole life. Like, right. This is okay.
Was this when your dad was really, really sick?
Yeah. Like, it was like in and out of like the hospital a lot. And so I was like, this isn't casual for me. I can't have a normal, funny conversation with you. Like, I can't do that. But it's nice that you have like, nurses are so, they get that.
Yeah.
They understand that. And then, they can talk to you casually and calmly, yeah. not in like the vernacular that doctors use. You know, sometimes you get a great doctor that can just talk to you in like common terms, not yeah. all like medical terminology, but it's just nice to have somebody there who's like, this is normal and this is okay. Yeah. And I've seen this before kind of thing.
Yes. And I felt like as we were going through all of this and the doctors would come in with more information, the day before his surgery was the worst because there was a couple moments where I didn't know what it was going to look like when I got on the plane home. But then literally within a 24-hour span, things had gotten better. The prognosis was better and we had a plan. And like as long as everything went according to plan, he was going to leave that hospital, which was like the thing that was so hard to bear was the not knowing in that.
That's why you got to go. You got to be there to see for your own eyes and hear from the doctor. Oh, but let me tell you
how many people – mostly my parents told me not to come. And it's that thing that we do where, or at least I'll just say it, my parents love to do where they're like, and my mother-in-law does this too. I don't want to bother you. I don't want to inconvenience you. But simply by doing that, you inconvenience me and you bother me. Like, don't tell me I can't go be with you when you're as sick as I've ever, ever known you.
Yeah.
And like, God forbid if something were to happen and I didn't go, what was I going to do? Go, you know, Jen's going to have a honey-baked ham.
Yeah.
Like
it was inconvenient.
Inconvenient for me to, like, just, I finally told my mom, who kept saying, like, you don't need to hurry, you don't need, I go, and getting very different reports from my siblings, who were like, this isn't good. And and my mom kept saying that. I go, you know what, you can just say thank you. I'm going to come in, I'm going to go to the hospital, I'm going to be next to him, I'm going to go home with you, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to say, don't come, because that's pissing me off.
Yeah.
But, like, you can just be happy that I'm here. And then she was.
Yeah.
The second I got there, she was. And it was, I will say, the whole situation was stinky and terrible. But, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. And my mom and I had really, nice, solid mother-daughter time at night. In the houses. She's got it decorated for Christmas. And so we were able to, you know, you can't be mired down by it the whole day. Otherwise you won't be able to function for that person. So like, I just tried to put one foot in front of the other, take care of him when I could go home, be with my mom, wake up the next day, do that. I did that for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And then finally when he had his surgery, I was like, you know, I'm going to fly home and try to hit Thanksgiving for like 2 hours. And that was a much better flight on the way home.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I got here. I was literally had been up since 4 a.m. But just being here felt like, yeah. okay, good.
You're not going to like feel at all at ease until you see with your own eyes, like I said, that he's okay. And your brain's going to be there. So your body might as well be there too, because you can be helpful if you're there. You can't. All you can do is
yeah.
you're going to get into a frenzy like with the distance. It's 1,500 yeah. miles away.
It's
you're gonna,
hard.
They don't answer the phone. You're going to worry. But you're there and you can see he's okay right now. We can laugh and just be yeah. normal for a little bit and like yeah. get through like moment to moment. But like,
I agree.
It's such a weird like learning curve, and it's a part of like
life.
Just like getting older. It's like when our friend passed away a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, the most shocking thing is you're like, oh, I'm the adult all of a sudden. I yeah. gotta like make this adult decision, which is no, I'm coming, or yeah. no, I'm doing this thing. Like, because yeah. there I've always like looked to this like older person that was going to like make this decision about what the right thing to do is, but you become the parent.
Yeah.
Like you have to start like telling your dad to take his medicine. You yep. have to start saying, no, you're going to go to this doctor's appointment. Yep. You're going to do this. It like switches, and it's a weird fucking thing. It's
I believe too, and not to get too heavy, but I think that
everybody's dealing with it.
It really is.
And part of it is ridiculous that you have like, a boomer just acting like a
ginger ale, chest pains. I'm gonna take a fucking ginger ale. If that's not boomer 101, I don't know what the fuck is. I'm like, you think that's gonna do it, Dewey? You yeah. think that's gonna do it? You don't have indigestion, my friend. Like, a chest pain is not indigestion. Like, or if it is, let's just go ahead and use the 60 years that you've been paying into insurance to just settle the bet and make sure.
You should have been buying stock in ginger yeah, ale.
Ginger ale. Like, you know what will solve all acute, like, major medical problems is ginger ale. They should be giving that shit out at the hospitals.
No shit.
That is not how it works.
The average lifespan would be like 98.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So the thing that I realized in all of this is that I have been a little bit salty to my parents in the last, I would say year and a half. I've been more easily frustrated, and I've been a little bit, not snotty. I'm never disrespectful to them, but like, I think frustrated is the best word. Just frustrated with certain things. And then I realized what that is I was just a little bit mad at them because they're getting older.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I don't want them to do that.
That's very introspective.
Well, because when I went home, I was like clearly they didn't want to tell me everything because yes. this story has so many places for judgment, in all fairness, like chest pains and ginger ale.
Yeah.
The fact that he was barfing for 2 days and he goes, and my mom was like, I think it's the flu. And I was like, any chance that you went to the doctor and actually got a flu test just to rule out that it could be something
also,
else?
Also, FYI, vomiting is a sign of a cardiac event.
Yeah.
So.
Like, can we just, is there any chance that anything I say will make a shit of difference? And I really don't think there is. I don't think, but
yeah.
But I realized.
Hey, grandparents, spend less time on eBay looking at diecast cars and things. Spend a little bit more time on WebMD. Okay. That is my.
That's the irony. My mom is on WebMD all the time. I wanted to put like child locks on it because she looks at it too much and everything, you know, is going to end up in a tumor. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
All right, you stop diagnosing yourself. You don't know. Like,
yeah.
This is just bad in every direction. But the cavalier nature of being like, it's fine. I'm like, no, you're not. Your arm's not supposed to fall off.
Yeah.
You know, that's. You're yeah. not, you're literally not fine. But I realized in that moment, I was like, I have a lot of, and I've talked about it before, I have a lot of fear of death. I have a lot of fear of life passing by and regret and just all of it. I feel very scared of that. And seeing them get older is an indication that time is passing. And like, I don't want to lose them, you know, like,
yeah,
they're the most important to me. So when I saw my dad sick, obviously I was very emotional, but I would like go do that sort of thing by myself. But I was like, Kristen, this is a moment for you to have an about face and just go in being a little bit nicer. Like, recognize that the time has come when their age is going to be a factor in just simply things, like simple things, little things.
Yeah.
And it's fair that it's frustrating.
Oh, that's
it's
what fair. I was going to say.
It's like, fair.
Let's take all the multi-levels of, you know, parent-child dynamics, how much we need them, love them, are scared of them leaving us. Let's put that on a shelf, and let's address that they can be irritating because as they age, they get irritating.
That's true.
You know, like, it's... They really do. It's like they get so set in their ways.
It's so
they get
hard.
So like set in beliefs that don't exist, that aren't real. And like it's really hard and frustrating to deal with.
Yeah.
And all of us, you know, if your parents are of a certain age, you have a conversation with them or they have a conversation with the kids. And as soon as they leave the room, you're like, disregard
pretty much all of that.
Yeah. No, none of that is. Yes, they have good, sound, sage advice. But some of it is just, you know.
Age getting the better of them a little bit sometimes.
It is. Okay. It's okay. I mean, like, listen, nobody wants you. There's a reason there's not a lot of Formula One drivers that are in their late 70s. Because some of it is not happening as quickly. The reaction, the synapses. And God, we love you for it. Wait and see what I look like.
Oh,
I'm getting there early, I can tell you.
The longest drive of my life was not because my dad was on death's bed from my mother's house to the hospital. It was because my mother was in the passenger seat. Literally, she was like, Kristen, I don't know why you have to drive so fast. I'd slow it down. You know what? You can get a ticket for driving too slow.
BT Dubs does not drive fast. You don't drive fast.
You drive fast. My mother
I drive
would,
fast.
No, but my mother would be in the car with you and be like, well, aren't you in an, don't you have a good sense of urgency? But with me, it's like, just like literally note after note after note after note. Like, and I'm like, the whole city of Lincoln, you can get from A to B in 11 minutes. So that was an 11-minute drive to the hospital. And I've never felt like time went slower than when I was actually in the hospital. Like
mother's
notes while driving. And, you know, then my sister's there and my brother's there.
Let's pile it on. All of it. Yeah.
That's another dynamic. Just siblings also being scared and being together. But I did think we handled it all. We did things in shifts and some days were unexpectedly longer than others. But like, I just want to know, like, I think the big thing is like, you should look around and be like, oh, they want to be here. Like, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Like that in itself.
Meaning like you wanted to be there?
I wanted to be there. My brother wanted to be there. My sister wanted to be there. And like, we know we're really annoying at Bryan East. We're loud. We bring a lot of energy into the room. And I think it's nervous energy. But we did.
And fair enough also to aging people out there. Like, we don't get any easier to tolerate just because your children are still as annoying as they ever were.
Right.
Probably more so because they think they know better. Like, it just gets worse. I get it. You, like, pile all these, like, family dynamics together, and it's, like, literally survival of the fittest.
Well,
I mean, it's,
yeah, and, you know, there is a thing, like, when you get older, or, like, at least for my parents who are, my mom is in her young, is only 71, and my dad is 75. And to me right now, that feels very young.
Yeah.
Like, not young, but it feels like, you're still traveling at those ages. Like,
yes.
So I guess what I'm saying is, like, physically they're those ages. Like, they're both in pretty good health and shape. And my mom is, you know, loves to do yoga 4 times a week. So they're fit.
Yeah.
And my dad he'll have to change his whole diet, which is not a terrible thing because he enjoys bacon on bacon.
Look,
anything that can be bacon, a little flourish of bacon, Dewey Hensley is on board with.
Sooner or later, we all have to. And that is, it is like a testament to how healthy he is, because at his age, like, a lot of people have their gallbladder out in their 40s.
Yeah. I know.
So like, this is his first like major health event.
Knock wood.
Yeah, that's great.
It is. I worry that this is sort of like, you know, there's all those thoughts. Like, is this the beginning of something bigger? Is it, you know, what do things look like ahead? And like, for my brain and for my heart, I try not to go into the sad stuff. I'm like, all right, so what does this look like now? Like, how do I set them up for success? How do I make sure that we see them more and like travel more? So we're going back for Christmas. We're going back. I will make a better effort to, you know, have them come see us when we're on the road. If they're close, like, to travel them, because I just want to know that, like, as this moment has happened, I've learned from it and I'm trying to be more gracious with them. But fuck, man, like, no easy task. No. And also as they get older, like nobody wants to be told really what to do, right? No. And you certainly don't want someone to disrupt your life in your, like, as my mother likes to call it, fourth quarter.
Terry.
Honestly, since she was...
You're not 75
My
yet.
Mom has been talking about her death my entire life. So I wonder if there's something there to
any
my...
Any correlation to your worries?
Like yeah. How she'd be like, kids, we're going to go on a family vacation. Now, Kristen, your dad and I are going to go on a trip with just each other, which we haven't done since our honeymoon. Now, listen, I'm leaving you with the babysitter, Angie, for 4 days. If our plane goes down in a fiery, burning hole...
You mean Angie and her boyfriend.
Yeah, Angie and her boyfriend, Truth. Then I want you to take this envelope to this lawyer in town, and they will... And I'm, like, sobbing at the idea. Yeah. But I think my mom was like, I just wanted to see if you would be sad.
Wanted to see if you cared.
If I cared.
What kind of reaction,
like, let's see,
you'd get.
So now I'm just like, she'll say stupid shit, like, gosh, I just love my Ford Edge. It's probably going to be my last one. And I'm like, oh, really? Because your lease gives... Is your lease and your car's lease expiring at the same time? Because that's amazing, you know.
Wow.
I hope your lease doesn't go out before your lease goes out, because that would suck. You'd have a car that nobody drives.
Yeah. No.
Boy, Terry, life is hard.
Becoming clear on why you worry about this stuff. I think it's the pieces are...
Oh.
But it's crazy to me how much, like, I told you a couple weeks ago, I was having this conversation with my son where he, you know, he was saying, you know, he's learning how to deal with people. He has friends and whatnot. And he was like, I have this friend that's this way. And he said, I really feel guilty because I wish they weren't that way.
Yeah.
And I go... That's fine.
That's fine.
Fair. You don't tell them that.
It's also very, very honest.
Yeah. I go, you don't tell them that because that's what they are. They can't help that.
Yeah.
But life isn't clean. It's not easy.
And it's not easy. It's not easy. If it's easy, you have had, like, you need to shake it up a little bit.
Yeah. It's not black and white. It's not clear cut. So, like, yes, like, you're going to have new... Like, maybe you've, like, mastered a dynamic with your parents. And I'm not talking about you. This
is me
imploding as I look inward. But, like, the relationship I – early relationship I had with my mom or my dad, say, I had mastered, you know, in
their
my
demands,
in my
because you were young.
Yeah, but I figured out how to deal with those. The set that they bring now is new that I'm having to deal
exactly.
with.
Exactly, which I do think, like, there's no reason for me to do this alone. I am going to go talk to somebody because I'm like, I do need a little guidance here. I don't think it has to be as alone, you know, like feeling like everything's so dreadful. Like, there can be beauty to this time, and I'm making it sound like death is, like, around the corner, but you don't know. You don't know. And I
but also not everything means death. I mean,
not everything means death, but it
aging
does mean
means that, like, the forefront
pain.
Of your the okay. Also, you went there, okay, but it's not everything about aging isn't just that much closer to death. You can look at it that way on the spectrum.
Yeah.
But it's also like your health is your number one priority
yes,
as you age. We take it so for granted for
I know.
So long.
And a lot what you do now is going to determine how you feel then.
And
let me tell you.
Get a wake-up call that says, I got to start taking care of my health.
You better do it.
Your priority has to shift. It has to be. God love Terry for doing yoga 4 times a week because it's going to keep her alive and healthy for a long time.
She's been doing balance exercises for like literally the last decade. She's like, everybody up during a commercial break because balance is so important in your later years. I'm like, you're 38.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not saying that's not annoying,
look,
but we got to do it.
No,
yeah.
she, you're right. And you know what? It was a good wake-up call for me too. It was a, like, am I taking care of myself? Where am I at? Like, what is my day-to-day? Like, it just makes you very introspective and you want to do better and feel better. But, you know, like, you see your parents, like, their bodies change and, like, the way they walk changes a little bit. And you see, like, they've got different kinds of aches and bumps and pain.
Yeah.
And you don't want that for them. And then you're just, like, it's like you said, it's all uncharted territory. So sometimes I feel very vulnerable and, like, a little girl watching, like a thing unfold. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to do right now. I don't know what to do with this information. I feel, like, a little bit more in the know now. And
yeah.
I feel like it was just a good moment for me to take stock in how I'm treating them and be a little bit more patient. Try, which is fucking really hard, by the way, because look at me right now. I'm already frustrated with
well, but
my dad got home and was mad yeah. about his situation and ripped up his aftercare file.
I was like, if
you fucking drink ginger ale and think that's going to solve the problem, I will take
you
your ass back.
Put that shredder and I'm going to put it back together. I do yeah. crosswords. There's
at
no
one,
way.
Exactly. At one point I looked at him and I said, I go, you can be mad at me if you want, but you're going to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
fine. You can
fine.
Be mad at me.
This is what I was going to say. And, you know, for all the moms out there, for everybody, thank God for matriarchs. That's, you know, we do because God. This is, here's the thing. It's the matriarch that keeps the family together. It's the matriarch that, like, keeps
She's
everyone
saying
connected.
A mom
because
I had to think about it for a second. I was
yeah,
like,
I'm talking about all you badass moms and all you women out there. And by the way, what's happening now is you're becoming the family matriarch. You're going to tell your brother and sister, you got to take care of them while I'm gone. I'm coming. Like, you're in yeah. charge. You're going to big sister again. But it's like, you're going to have to do that for your mom. And, like, it's not your mom anymore. She doesn't have the energy. She doesn't have
yeah.
the...
Yeah. And it's a big job when someone is resistant to the advice given by...
But that's
medical
who does
professionals.
It. That's who does it.
I know you're right.
Anytime, like, a friend of mine, like, God forbid, like, loses a mother or something like that, I'm like, you got to step up now. Because yeah. if you don't do it, dad's
Nobody,
not doing it.
No.
No, it's the woman. It's you. Yeah. You become this, like.
My dad would be through a drive through at Taco John's in 15 seconds. I'd be like, get that amigos out of your hand, sir.
That's, I tell my husband all the time, I go, God love Ken's wife, Marion, yeah. who not only is such a machine in the kitchen, as I mentioned
but she really
earlier,
does take very good care of him.
She takes such good care of him. That guy would be face down in a pile yes. of pizzas and Cabernet if it were up to
100%.
Him. 100%. But there's no, but he, you need
strong you need someone,
mother energy.
You need structure, and that mother is that structure. And I will say this, I was reticent to post about what was going on with my dad, but because you and I have always agreed to be sort of like transparent about what's going on in our lives, obviously, that I wanted, and I also believe in prayer. Like, I believe in, like, that energy. I was like, well, if now is not the time, I don't know what is. So I did post about it, and I was so touched by all the comments and people willing to share that, you know, they had gone through something similar or worse or what it was like to be a caregiver. And I felt like, man, there's a lot of shit in the world, but I had a moment where everything was that was so kind that I felt better about the world. In my saddest moment, I literally felt like, hey, the world is a nicer place, which is could have gone, you know, another direction. So I really am grateful to all of you who commented. It was incredibly kind. And
yeah, that should be our mom box. Thanks to everybody.
To all the women.
For all the prayers you said and all the kind messages and stuff like that. And literally people who were like, I live 2 hours away. What do you need, a grocery store run or whatever?
You know what? I'm 6 hours out, but I'm going to be there to make you lunch and I'm going
to
head back.
You know what? I've been meaning to
check out the new
infrastructure on the way. Yeah. So let me do that for
you. I will tell you this. This is really funny. My dad's doctor, the internist who removed the gallbladder, he's really nice. And I thought he was really...
Was he cute?
He was totally cute, so I kept trying to... I was trying to think about if my sister... I was like, let's just see. Like, he's hanging out with friend. You never know.
I know, Megan.
She's so mortified. She's like, please stop. And I was like, you don't know. Like, if he's like local to Lincoln, he could have some friends.
That's right.
She's like literally almost starting to cry. She's like, this is not the time. And I'm like, isn't it? Like, isn't
this
time?
It's time.
Like, okay.
And
so
you never know when the good time is.
Look, my dad isn't going to be out of surgery for an hour. There's a lot of ground to cover in an hour.
I'm not saying go bark up the surgeon while
I'm just saying his friend. Friends are probably pretty successful too.
Yeah.
So he was really nice. And as we were talking, he's got the mask on and I've got my mask on. And we were in the lobby of the waiting room. My dad had just come out of surgery and had to wait an hour before we could see him. So he was going through the surgery and it wasn't good. It was about just how bad. He also had infections in his stomach and those were not clearing very easily. So the internist was concerned. So he's giving us some pretty dark information, but the surgery had gone well. So that I felt good about. I was like, okay, in my head that was the thing. And gallbladders are so common, but that was all the other things around it that I was like, okay, one thing at a time. Okay, that was good. So now what? So the doctor's talking to me and I'm really listening and listening. And then he started to get kind of graphic about some of the stuff. And I was like, and my sister goes, you might have to direct this at me because she'll pass out. And I was like, oh, you don't know. And I was like,
there she goes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And my sister really wanted to say is like, what she's going to do is make this about her. Hold on. And I was like, yeah. And then she goes, he's like, why, what do you do? And I just didn't know how to sum it up. So I was like, well, I'm a comedian. It does, and he literally dropped everything. And he was like, oh my God, are you my mom so hard? And I go,
yes. Hilarious.
I started laughing in a weird way, like uncomfortable. And I was like, yes. And he goes, I sent my wife and her four friends to your show at the Orpheum. It was so great. And then he got real casual. He's like, enough about Dewey. So what brings you back? I'm like, oh my God, just my dad.
Dewey. Yeah, just my dad. Actually, let's get back
Let's get
Dewey.
Back to Dewey. Actually, yeah. I didn't. I was like, go on. I could use the pep talk.
She's
also
single.
Do you have any single yeah. friends at your yeah. barbecue?
Oh, your wife.
Oh, my sister's bawling. Sorry, let me make it about her real quick.
Yeah. Sorry, that sister dynamic never goes
good.
Away.
Never
yeah.
goes away. So yeah. I was very grateful. Like, it was very funny and like kind of brought some levity to a much needed moment of how weird the world is. And I was like, yeah, cool.
I have a selfie with my mom's bladder surgery team. So it's not, it's just, it is, it happens. I know.
It's a weird thing, but how cool. So the long story is the shorter story of this long story is that he's in recovery.
Thank God.
It's day to day. He's doing all right. It's not even the first, are we even at a week out? I think surgery wise, we're probably just right now. And so when this podcast comes out, we'll be even further down the pike, which I feel like I will be happy about. So getting older, man, it ain't easy.
No, it's not. We're going to fight it tooth and nail.
I mean, I'm going to fight the way it looks tooth and nail. I'm like...
Oh, that's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, gallbladder, take it, but stretch my wrinkles around my face so they don't happen.
Oh my God, my neck, you guys. I don't want to
have look, as I sit here and I'm like, oh, my shoulder's really starting to go... Yeah, and then we're just those people talking about ailments.
Oh, isn't that funny that there's some like very young moms listening to our podcast right now that are like,
what the fuck is wrong with them?
Old people are annoying. Right? It's incredible. Wow.
Do you think they're like this? They just don't see themselves.
That we don't. I don't and I won't.
I won't and I don't. And guess what?
Because, yeah.
Guess who's going to next like rip up her like rules for post-surgery? This lady. Like I'm fully aware that I'm on the doing track.
I'm going to make a statement here. Yep. Rip.
You guys, I have chest pains, and I'm going to suck back this ginger ale.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. What do you say? Do you think we podcasted?
I think we podcasted, Did we podcast?
I think we did.
Well, cheers to Dewey.
Yes, cheers to all of you out there. I know that not everything is easy, and if you have parents who are getting up there in years, and if you think that's in the 50s, that's not what we mean, because how dare you?
Yeah, you're never going to put those mothering skills away. You're just going to reuse them in a different direction.
They might, like... You might like let off the gas a little bit, but then you're going to ramp right back up in. So get ready.
Yeah.
Go moms.
Have fun.
Thanks. Bye.